imagination. Oh, yes, of course, imagination. It's a lovely thing to have to entertain you on a long and boring day. But when it's dark, very dark, and you are walking a midnight mile through a lonely countryside, those shadows you see begin to twist and breathe, taking on shapes of all manner of ghoul and monster, and then they reach out and grab you. Do they? Or is it just your imagination?
Welcome to the Cultcast, the scariest, most frightening Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Scarefon Ghost Elijah. Joining me today, his menacing good looks will scare you right out of your pants. Boo! Stern Heine is here!
Count Elijah.
I love to count. That's going to be my Halloween costume. I should be the Count from Sesame Street.
The Count.
Yeah. Okay. I just have to, like, put a sheet over my shoulders and put on some pointy ears. I already got the laugh down perfect.
You got to fix that hair, though. I don't know if you can tame it.
Dude, I'll put some Vaseline in it.
Okay.
I'll put some Vaseline in my hair and slick it back. Problem solved. I'm gonna get all the candy. And you'll hear me coming through your neighborhood, too. You'll just hear this in the distance. That's how you know. I'm on my way.
Oh, Airfon's coming. Airfon's
Count Scarefon is going to be here any minute. This is an Apple conversation, the best Apple conversation, some would say, a very few would probably say. And we're going to be talking about all this week's best Apple stories. And if you stick around to the end, we're also going to be doing an all-new Get to Know Your Cultist, where it's going to be a Halloween-y edition. We'll be doing some very scary Halloween topics. Also on the docket for this show, Buster, I don't even think you know this. Yeah. Here's what we're going to talk about. Apple's about to have their best financial year ever. Emphasis. They're about to. Did it already pass? Is it over? Oh, it did, because it's the financial year. So yeah, they just had the best financial year ever.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying.
So much money.
Tim Cook is just swimming in that Uncle Scrooge vault right now, just totally new, just swimming through his coins. The reviews are in. The Apple TV is great, but not everyone is gushing about it. We'll be talking about that. Nintendo has finally announced their first iOS game ever, but is it actually a game? I'm confused.
Doesn't sound like it.
Yeah, I don't actually know exactly what it is. We'll be talking about that. And, of course, stay tuned for the all-new Get to Know Your Cultist at the very end. Before we hop into it, Buster, I do want to say thank you to Backblaze for supporting this episode. I pay to back up my computer to Backblaze every single month. Just like everyone else, I think Backblaze is fantastic. And it's a wonderful way to back up your content, keep it safe off-site, which you should absolutely be doing. It's for both personal computers and business computers. Unlimited online backup for documents, music, photos, videos, and all of your user data. You can start a free, no-risk, two-week trial at backblaze.com/cultcast. And they make, I think they're the only company that I know of that makes a native Mac app. So it works the way you would expect an app to work. Beautiful way to be backing up your Mac. I also want to thank Squarespace for supporting this episode. I think last week we told people about our new business venture, right, Buster? What was it? BusterModelsSexyCostumes.net.
Right.
I don't think we chose
the sexy lumberjack outfit.
That's right. I think my favorite was the French maid, quite honestly. And we're going to make tons of money. And I suggested that the way that we should get set up is to have a Squarespace site. And actually, I've been using Squarespace sites for years. The Cultcast website is built on Squarespace and allows us to keep all the show notes and everything updated there. And I actually set up a contributor as well. So one of our listeners, I send him some show notes and he actually updates the Squarespace site himself because it's so easy to do. And you can set up a plethora of contributors to help you on your blog, on your website that you create for work. If you have a photography website and you have an assistant and you want to like put up your pictures and stuff, because Squarespace is so easy to use. The entire interface is drag and drop, and it's very simple to customize and make your website look exactly how you want it to look. And then in no time you'll be set up. And if you're building an e-commerce site, if you want to sell a product, definitely check out Squarespace. I used Squarespace to set up cultcloth.co, which is where I am selling the cultcloth, the best way to clean your Apple devices and Apple Watch. And it couldn't have been easier. I played around with Squarespace, added all my images, added my copy, and within hours, I had a fully functional e-commerce website that does a ton of heavy lifting in the background. So when you place an order at cultcloth.co, Squarespace, through the integrations that they provide with other apps, manages all the order processing, all the emails going in and out. When your order ships, you get emails. I don't do any of that. I'm totally hands-off, and Squarespace manages all that stuff in the background. Plus, they don't take a cut of every single one of your sales as some of the other e-commerce websites out there do, which of course adds up. And an e-commerce website is included in your Squarespace monthly fee. Check it out, squarespace.com. Get started with a 2-week free trial. They don't even need your credit card information. And if you like what you see, use code CULTCAST at checkout and you could save 10% off any order, a month of service, a year of service. And just use code CULTCAST at checkout. Thank you to Squarespace for supporting this episode. Man, Buster, let's talk about, let's start with this one.
Okay.
Apple just had their best financial year ever. So check this out. Before about this, I know, it's big news. It's exciting news. In 2010, which is just 5 years ago, Steve Jobs bragged about the fact that Apple had $50 billion in revenue over the course of an entire year. Apple just made that number in a non-holiday quarter. So in one quarter, in a non-holiday quarter specifically, they made more money than they did in the entire year of 2010. Apple now has more than $205 billion in cash. And Tim Cook recently said, actually, he said this on the financial call, didn't he? It's the most successful year ever for Apple. They made more than $234 billion in revenue in 2015. Contrast that to 2010, $50 billion in revenue, $234 billion in revenue in 2015. Apple now has more money in the bank than the Czech Republic, Peru, and New Zealand, making gross domestic product in an entire year. That's the size of the Apple we know today. And I know you covered this for Cult of Mac. How boring is listening to financial calls? Be honest.
Oh my gosh. You know, because Tim and Luca, they just like throwing out all kinds of numbers and percentages. If you're a normal person, you're just like, oh my gosh.
You're like, this sucks. This is the most boring.
Be five
ever.
More minutes of this shit? Oh, jeez. Okay.
But it is, especially this time, normally we try to just gloss over the Apple stuff, the financial call stuff, because it's boring. And not people don't want to hear drone on and on about it. But this is kind of a milestone, a major, major milestone for them. So you wrote a piece, the 7 biggest takeaways from Apple's Q4 earnings call. What were some of the interesting things that they discussed in this financial call?
Let's see. That I think one of the things is like how well the Mac's still doing.
Yeah, surprising.
IDC has predicted that forever that the market's going to shrink. The Mac continues to grow. Uh-huh. Another thing was them talking about IBM bringing on the Mac. I don't know if we talked about it last episode, but IBM says they save, you know, a lot of money on IT costs and everything for the Mac. And Apple says they've have 30,000 Macs now at IBM, and mm-hmm. they save about $270 on costs by switching to Mac over PC, just because they don't have as many IT support and other services they have to do. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
What I thought was very telling was Tim Cook said that 30% of new iPhone buyers were switching over from Android. 30%.
Yeah, it's all-time high.
Lots of all-time highs. I think Tim Cook was on an all-time high during this call. He's like, I'm so high, y'all. In fact, might have been a little bit high. I heard he's into that. He's into shrooms. That's what I heard.
Oh, really?
Shrooms. Dude, I heard he's huge into shrooms. Yeah, but just between you and me.
Okay.
Can I point out something else about this article?
Yeah.
The picture that you posted when you're talking about China. Yeah. So Apple's doing amazing in China, right? In fact, it's interesting to think that I think eventually China is going to be Apple's biggest market, and we're going to be number two at that point. And it's going to be interesting to see how Apple constructs their business once China is their biggest consumer. And it's also strange to think that Apple's making all these products in China and goes and marks them up insanely high and sells them right back to the Chinese people, which I think is really interesting. True. That all this time we've been Apple's biggest market, even though all the products have been made there, and now they're actually might be staying there. But I digress. I think the best thing about this entire piece that you wrote on Cult of Mac, which I'll link to in the show notes, is I'm looking at this picture of Tim Cook standing victoriously on the Great Wall of China. And
he looks
very, very regal. And he's like looking out into this distance. But I was like, oh man, what is he wearing? Right. And I'm like, he's wearing a Nike over jacket, like a light, it's like a running jacket. And then it has like the swoosh on it. Right. And then wait a second, on his pant leg, there's another swoosh. And I was like, geez, he's a Nike. And then I noticed he's wearing like a mock turtleneck, and that has a swoosh on it too.
It's a Nike. Yeah.
The entire thing is Nike themed.
Well, Nike, he's on their board too.
Okay, I didn't know that.
So that makes sense. Yeah, he's on their board.
I was just like, this guy is too much of a Nike fan. I mean, look, you could be a Nike fan, but when you're wearing a Nike mock turtleneck underneath your Nike runner's outfit, jumper suit.
Too much Nike for you. He pulls it off, though. He pulls it off.
He looks great. Exactly the point I was going to get to. I was like, I can't pull off this look. People would make fun of me if I wore this. If I just showed up in like an all Adidas tracksuit, I would never hear the end of it. In fact, I remember meeting a friend's boyfriend, and the first time I'd ever met him, and he showed up wearing like an all Adidas tracksuit. And I couldn't tell if he was being ironic or if he was doing it on purpose. And at some point in the night after we had enough drinks, I remember asking him, I was like, dude, that's a cool tracksuit. And he's like, thanks. And I'm like, are you like coming from somewhere or were you at a party or something? And he was like, no. And I was like, oh. I think he wasn't sure if I was making fun of him, and I wasn't. He looked great. But my point being, when you wear when you wear a tracksuit from one company, it's like very few people can pull off that look, and Tim Cook does it. Other notable points before we move on: iPad not doing so hot.
iPad sucks.
Apple made a lot of money. And this was surprising. Apple News is more popular than Apple Music.
Yeah, I was surprised by that. I guess because Apple Music still has the free trial period, but I guess it's still not even used as much as Apple News. I never even open Apple News though.
I do once in a while. I think it's good to use every once in a while. It's just to train Apple News to give you relevant stories when you're using Spotlight. That way, it shows you stuff that you actually might be interested in. But yeah, I'm still using Newsify. That's still my favorite one.
And oh, okay.
I knew it would be. I mean, Apple News is great for people who have no other app that they really like, but because it's so basic. But if you end up liking to read news, there's lots of other apps out there that I think are better than Apple News. Okay, let's move on from the financial stuff and let's talk about Apple TV. So I was a little nervous last week releasing our show because we started talking about Apple TV because Leander has had one for weeks. And he started talking about it very casually, and I didn't realize, oh man, you're probably under NDA. You can't talk about this yet because everyone is under lock and key who has one of these Apple TVs. You're not supposed to talk about them, and you can get in trouble with Apple if you do that. But he seemed to not be all too concerned. In fact, my favorite part was at one point he was like, I probably shouldn't be talking about this. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, we can stop. He's like, no, I'll talk about this. And he just continues to tell us what he likes and what he doesn't. I'm sure he probably could have gone into more detail, but he didn't want to at that time. Well, now everyone has their Apple TVs pre-ordered and the reviews are all out. And before we talk about what people like and what they don't, did you end up pre-ordering one?
No, I didn't.
You didn't. Okay. Are you going to get one?
Yeah. Eventually.
Okay.
But maybe not this year.
So you're not super duper excited about it then?
I'm not super excited about it just because it's going to need some, I don't know. I don't know what it needs to make me really excited. Siri, like voice controls don't excite me. It needs to work. Yeah. And that games, I'm not a huge gamer. Vainglory's not on the Apple TV yet. So when Vainglory comes to the Apple TV, I'll probably be like, all right, fine. I got to.
I'm going to roll in there Friday like a baller. I'm going to push some people around, throw my weight around, tell them who I am. And I'm going to walk
out.
That's
how you're doing it.
That's how I'm going to do it. Yeah. On Friday morning. Because according to 9to5Mac, Apple hasn't announced this yet, but some of their sources were telling them that these are going to be available in store on Friday. And I think they totally are because I almost pre-ordered one. I came this close and I'm making a pinching sign with my hand right now. My fingers are not very far apart. That's how close I was to pre-ordering one. But they said that if you wanted to get it on Friday, you could do overnight shipping. And I thought to myself, well, surely if they're going to be having these land in people's homes on Friday, you'll be able to have them in stores on Friday because that's the way Apple works. So I'm going to roll in there and get one and use my Apple Pay so I can save that 10% money, cash money that we talked about. You know, girl, you know what I'm talking about.
It's an interesting launch. They haven't made much fanfare about it. There's no press release. You know, it's just the Apple TV went on sale. There was really nothing. So if you're not an Apple fan, you have no idea that a new Apple TV is coming out tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely doesn't get the fanfare that an iPhone gets.
Right.
But I'm still excited about these, although I will say my enthusiasm has been somewhat tempered now that we have seen so many reviews come out. And the consensus seems to be it's certainly a good device, but as far as being Apple's vision of the future, that future is still far off. It's not going to happen in the product that you're going to buy at the Apple store on Friday.
Kind of a bummer, I think.
It's kind of a bummer. And I think there's a lot of potential. There's a lot of stuff built into the Apple TV that I think is very future-facing, and so it will probably improve over time, but you look at what they were promising. I mean, the apps look awesome, but this is definitely, it feels like a V1 product in that regard because there's just not a whole lot of app selection that's going to be available. And a lot of the apps that I saw didn't really make novel use of the TV space. It just kind of looked like a TV version of an iPhone app. And then the other big thing, and this is what Leander touched on last week, this seems to be a big issue with this Apple TV, is the Siri functionality is just not fully baked. It looks like it's not working very well at all in a lot of different regards. In fact, Leander had a hilarious example in his Cult of Mac post where he was asking Siri to play The Clash because he wanted it to play something on Apple Music. And Siri brought up a bunch of Elmo cartoons, you know, from like Sesame Street. And he was totally confounded as to why they would have done this. And I was laughing my ass off because when I saw that, I immediately realized what iTunes was doing. It was because I saw a Sesame Street documentary a while ago about Elmo. And the creator of Elmo is named Kevin Clash. And so Siri must have searched through the metadata and given him all these different Elmo cartoons because he mentioned the word Clash. But he was saying he wanted to hear The Clash. And he gives lots of examples like that where Siri is just constantly misunderstanding what he's saying.
Interesting that he makes that point because Apple just announced today that Siri support for Apple Music isn't coming until 2016. So,
oh, really?
Part of the problem.
So you're saying the problem is an uncanny problem.
Error.
Yeah.
It could have been user error. I'm not, you know.
You know, I don't know if I buy that. Leander and user error, I don't know if I buy that, dude.
I mean, you know, when he has like an iMessage problem.
Okay, fair enough. So he does give other examples, though, where he's talking to Siri and he's asking Siri to search for things within movies and Siri doesn't understand him. Again, I will link the post in the show notes so you can take a look at this piece. And to your point, it could just be that the Apple TV isn't offering functionality for some of these things yet. But still, that's very confusing because how are you supposed to know what Apple TV is supporting?
everybody that, oh, I didn't read a ton of reviews, but a lot of them that I did all said that it, Siri functionality was very limited to just a couple things, to where it's just not even, I don't find that super useful, but you know, it'll probably be expanded, especially once third-party apps get on it too.
It will be expanded. I think you're right. And that's why I, in fact, The Verge was saying their recommendation was, if you have a, if you have a TV streaming that you use already, you should just wait and not get this Apple TV, because eventually they're going to iron out these problems, and then you'll also probably get 4K support, which hopefully that comes the next year. I hope it's more like 2 or 3 years, because I'm going to go buy one of these regardless, and I would hate to buy one and get 4K support a year later, because that really is the big feature that I want, is 4K support. But I don't even have a 4K TV right now, so I'm not stressed about
that. Yeah, me either.
I am still excited about the Apple TV, and people were really impressed with the interface, and overall, I think the consensus is, again, very, very good device. Doesn't really seem like it's that revolutionary over other devices, though. As far as Roku and the Chromecast, it's different, but...
Yeah, slightly, not hugely different. You know, it's not... I don't think it's a game changer.
Yeah, it's not a game changer, exactly. At least not yet. And this beleaguered Apple TV, we've been expecting this thing forever. We've been talking about it for at least a year, and it didn't live up to the dream that I had for it. And granted, those are just my dreams. And although Tim Cook and I have had many conversations over coffee and our shrooms sessions about what the Apple TV could be, apparently they couldn't work it into this version of Apple TV. But again, I'm still going to get one. I already have the Fire Stick TV. I have the Chromecast. I have an Xbox. I have a Wii U.
What are you going to use all the... Like, you can't even use all those things regularly.
You can't use them all at one time. Well, what I like about the Fire Stick TV is that it's always on. And so my guess is the Apple TV is going to usurp the Fire TV's HDMI port. Because the Fire TV stick is cool... But it's Amazon-centric, and the UI is, I don't think it's going to be as beautiful as the Apple TV, and it's also kind of lurchy, like when you're scrolling through different apps and stuff, it just, the animations aren't very smooth, and y'all know I like smooth animations, so if your stick doesn't have a smooth animator, I'm getting rid of it, I'm going with something else, so I want to have smooth animations all day long. So I'll probably be using it for that. The Chromecast is great for streaming stuff from your phone, because some of the apps that you use on the Amazon Fire Stick, on the Xbox, I'm assuming on the Apple TV, great example, like Twitch, the functionality is limited. So, for instance, with Twitch, which is an app that lets you stream video games, you can watch things that are being currently streamed at that moment, but if you want to go back and watch someone's history, you can't do that via the app. You can only do it via your phone. And there are apps out there that have similar limitations, so that's why it's great to have a Chromecast, which is only $35. And by the way, they just released a new version, which is awesome. 802.11 AC. Lots of small improvements, making a much better device. $35. And you can stream directly from your iPhone in a supported app directly to your TV. So that's why I have that. And then, of course, the Xbox, you know.
Okay.
Baller gamer. So that's the Apple TV. Let's move on. Let's talk about Nintendo, shall we?
Okay.
If y'all listened to my interview with Blake J. Harris, author of Console Wars, hopefully you caught that Cultcast second hour. If not, check out, I think it's episode 201, I think, is where I included that. We have a conversation towards the end about Nintendo and the Wii U. And of course, Console Wars is all about the battle between Sega and Nintendo in the 90s to take over your TV as the top console. Very good novel. Recommend you check it out. But we were talking about Nintendo and how they need to eventually move to iOS. They've done that this week. And the game, I don't even know what to call it. It's not a game. It's confusing is what it is. Buster, what did you hear about it?
Weird. So it's kind of like the Miis from the Wii would come and live on your phone. And yeah, they do stuff. It was weird. They said like they help you interact with things behind your back. I didn't really understand it. It sounded really confused. It didn't sound like a game, and I was hoping for freaking Zelda.
That's what
or
we were
Donkey
all hoping
Kong.
For. When Nintendo announced like, they were going to bring games to iOS, we were all hoping for something like Zelda, like Metroid, like something, you know, that
and they,
resembled.
And it doesn't even come out till next.
Well, it's been delayed.
Yeah.
It's been delayed till 2016, I believe, because it was supposed to come out in March. So I texted my friend who is super into Nintendo. I mean, big Nintendo fan. He buys like the 3DS. He has all the systems, right? And every time we go to a convention, he brings his Nintendo DS with him. And a lot of people at conventions have their portable Nintendo devices with them when they walk through these things, because the Nintendo 3DSs will communicate with each other even when you have them closed via Wi-Fi, and will give little like puzzles and things back and forth to each other, he said. And so that kind of sounds like what this app is going to do. It's like you have your little Mii character, right? My Mii character is named Jacko, and you can have your Mii live on your iPhone. And then they talked about facilitating communications between people in via this app, although they didn't go into great detail. And they also talked about trading things back and forth. So I'm assuming the functionality is going to be like what is currently available on the Nintendo 3DS. So this isn't a game at all. It's like it's just a way to get accessories for your Nintendo Mii character. So if you don't have a Nintendo Mii character, you're going to find this totally pointless. What is your Mii character look like, Buster? Maybe he needs to accessorize.
I don't have any Mii characters.
You don't even have one?
I don't have a Wii. Yeah, so for most people, it's just like, what the hell is this?
Exactly. I think that pretty much sums it up. For most people, it's going to be like, what the hell is this? This is not a game. Although, Nintendo said in their press conference, they're trying to reach more kids, and this is one of the ways that they are trying to do that. And I think this is smart for them because they need to get kids' attention so that kids will be more interested in their consoles, and kids are already using iOS devices. So this is a good move for them. And in 2017, I think they said they're going to release another – is it 2016 or 2017? They're going to release another 4 titles.
Well, yeah, I didn't pay attention on that part. But I did hear that – because it was supposed to come out at the beginning of or the end of this year, their first game, and then they were supposed to release the rest of the 5 and throughout 2017 until then.
Yeah.
What stupid game? Like, why do they have to do extensive marketing and research with it? It just sounds really bad. For their first foray into iOS and Android gaming,
it's underwhelming.
Yeah.
But from all the different things I've read about it, no one seems to be entirely sure what this is going to do. And so Nintendo could surprise us. It could be something cool. It is going to be free, and it's going to have in-app purchases, so you can buy, I don't know, outfits for your little Mii. And then going forward, the games that are going to be coming out are going to be more traditional, and they will cost money. So I think, and my friend was telling me this, they're expecting like a Zelda game to come out on iOS. And so I still have a lot of hope that we're going to wind up with some really great Nintendo games on iOS. And Nintendo, if anything else, has surprised people. In fact, I was not going to buy a Wii U, but I just bought one recently because they came out with a game called Mario Maker, which is brilliant. Have you played it?
No, but I see tons and tons of other people posting like crazy levels and vetted through it. And it's just like, oh, that seems kind of cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. And if you want to see it played, I've been playing it on my Twitch stream. And if you want to find me on Twitch, my handle is Vitamin E. Vitamin E-E-E. 3 E's at the end because 1 and 2 E's were both taken. So and I've been streaming Mario Maker. It's so much fun, dude. People are making levels. They said they had over a million user created levels already, and more being made all the time, and they're constantly improving the game. And if you like Super Mario Brothers, people can build a Mario level any way they want from any of the different Mario genres. So they're all specifically styled towards the type of Mario game that they're building. It could be Mario 3, it could be the first Mario Brothers, and they're wildly inventive. And some of them are fun and hard. Some of them are just ridiculously hard. as I've learned recently, as I was challenging people to stump me, which happened in the first 10 seconds of me playing user submitted levels. And it just makes you feel like a kid again when you're playing this game. And the entire thing is on HD, is in HD because you're playing on a Wii U. So they pulled me in, man. They finally got me. And I bought that game, and I've been playing some Mario Kart 8, which is also super fun. So I just wouldn't put it past Nintendo to do something surprising that everyone's going to love, because they have that in their DNA, and they keep doing it. So I kind of expect to be surprised by them. Okay, before we move on, let's go ahead. Oh, I need to say thank you to SoftLayer for supporting this episode. SoftLayer delivers a cloud built for integration. Your business applications and computational workloads are unique, and you should be using cloud resources that meet your specific needs. That's why SoftLayer provisions dedicated servers and virtual servers from a single seamless platform, all on demand, all connected to the same open API, all connected to a global private network, allowing you to scale your workloads up and down quickly and have ample space for your storage-intensive tasks. And all of our listeners have the opportunity to get $500 of cloud infrastructure by visiting softlayer.com/podcast, where you can check this. Order bare metal servers, aka dedicated servers, virtual servers, storage, networking, and security services from your choice of data center. And SoftLayer has 24 data centers all around the world. Plus, you can automate and control your infrastructure with a granular API or in the easy-to-use SoftLayer customer portal. And when you use SoftLayer, you're using the same cloud infrastructure IBM uses for all of its IBM cloud products and services. Check it out. Visit softlayer.com/podcast to get started with your $500 off servers, storage, network, and security on a cloud built for integration from SoftLayer. Alrighty, Buster, before we continue, I want to mention the Steve Jobs biopic.
Oh, the blood. I mean,
have you seen it?
Everybody? No, you know, and I think that's kind of like a sign.
I
love indie films. I love Sorkin. I love Fassbender and all the cast. But I'm not in any rush to go out and see it, like, you know, any more than I was the Kutcher movie.
I like that. First of all, I like that you call him Kutcher. That pleases me greatly. I might adopt that same pronunciation, Ashton Kutcher. Yeah, I feel the same way. I was pretty jazzed about seeing this movie, but the more trailers I saw, the more I kind of became lukewarm. And I think I will see it eventually. I just didn't want to see it in the theaters. And you know what I think really robbed its thunder is the Star Wars stuff. All the Star Wars stuff that started happening. And that was so exciting to me that I totally lost track of all other movies. And I didn't even think about this movie again until I saw this piece on Cult-O-Mac that it just hasn't really been doing that well. So it opened nationwide and only made $7.3 million. $7.3 million. To put that into perspective, the Sorkin Social Network movie made $22.4 in its first weekend. And $7.3 million is only... This is going to sting. Are you ready? Is only marginally better than the 2013 Ashton Kutcher Jobs movie. Oh, it hurts so bad. It's a deep burn. You know, in a way, I think that movie ruined it for Sorkin. People saw that one, and even though it wasn't good, they're like, yeah, I've seen one already.
I think that's kind of like people's opinion towards it. Like, oh, you know, I know the general story about Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
And that's... I think if they would have not called it Steve Jobs and would have had, I don't know, some other like artsy fartsy title.
Yeah.
And made it less about focused on Steve Jobs and more like the, you know, the character Steve Jobs, you know, fictionalized more. I think it would have done way better.
I think you're right. They should have given it another title.
Yeah.
And because the Kutcher Jobs movie, It was first to market, and it came out, how long ago was it now? A year and a half?
Yeah.
It feels like it was longer ago than that.
almost 2 years ago.
Okay, was it 2 years ago? I've been trying to wipe that experience from my mind.
So
I still
bad.
To this day, when people say they saw that movie and they thought it was good, I just, my face just goes blank. I don't even know what to say to that. There are people out there that thought that movie was good. I'm sure there's some listening to me right now who are like, I can't believe Erfan's dissing my favorite movie. That's my favorite movie. And
he looked just like him.
He looked just like him. That's always what you hear. That's always what you hear. He looked just like him. I'm like, if only he would have acted just like him, then maybe maybe we all would have enjoyed that movie more. So yeah, I'm just not gonna see this in the movie theaters, I don't think. I'm just gonna wait till this comes out on DVD. Not even Blu-ray, Buster. DVD.
Oh.
That's okay. How long I'm gonna wait. And
I'm just gonna come digital download it.
Yeah. Me too. I'm gonna wait till this is on Netflix. I'm not even gonna.
2017
when this comes to Netflix, that's when you'll have my full review on this movie. I'm sure it's good. And again, it was, the actors in it were praised for their acting abilities. So I know that it was probably well made. But again, I've already seen a Jaws movie, and I can't get myself to see this. I can't get myself to be excited about this. I don't know why. Okay. Let's go ahead and wrap up with a all new get to know your cultist Halloween edition. We can't, of course, do a Halloween edition get to know your cultist without talking about our favorites and least favorites Halloween candies. And by least favorite, I mean just the worst candy that you could think of. So let's start with our favorites. Do you have a favorite Halloween candy? Little Buster walks up to your door and he knocks. Oh. He's like 10 years old. He's got a full beard. He knocks on your door. Excuse me, sir. Trick or treat. And he hands
Elmo.
He hands you a blank and you just get so excited. You twirl your beard and you scuttle off and you're happy for the entire night.
Maybe a Twix or a Butterfinger. I don't know. Oh. That's not really Halloween candy.
Sure it is.
Candy corn's okay.
Oh,
yeah.
Dude, no.
What, you don't like candy
You're
corn?
You're not one of the candy corn people, are you?
You're
one of the children of the candy corn?
I wouldn't say I'm a child of it, but, you know, it only comes around once a year, and I usually only have about 2 or 3 opportunities to eat it, and I take those opportunities.
Oh, my God. Okay,
and it's decent,
so
I enjoy it.
That was going to be my pick for worst. Worst candy.
Okay.
the worst candy ever made, ever. It's so bad, in fact, that your grandparents are notorious for having bad candy, right? They keep like those cheap strawberry candies in the bowl with like the gelatin in the middle. Do you know what I'm talking about? Those really cheap, like generic candies, like in like the butterscotch candies. I would rather have one of those than have a candy corn. In fact, I will tell you, I'll take it even further, and this is the truth. If you gave me a candy corn, and you're like, you must either stick this in your mouth or straight up your arse. Either way, this is going in your body. Which do you choose? I'll tell you what, my breath would not smell like candy corns after that experience. And I'm serious. I'm dead serious. You can put me to the test on that. In fact, I'm going to do a YouTube video on that to make proof. That is not going in my mouth. There's not a chance. Those things are terrible. Those things were invented before candy had a science to it, right? Before they could create nerds and Sour Patch Kids and Twix and Twizzlers. That's why they're so bad. They're probably made with carnauba wax, which is the same stuff they use to like make your 1950s Chevrolet shiny. So I'm not saying that you're wrong, Buster, but you might have bad taste.
All right, I apologize.
Okay.
Milk duds. Switch to milk.
Oh, milk duds are good. Milk duds are so good. If I had to choose just one candy, the perfect candy to get, I would get... Have you ever heard of Rips?
Rips?
Rips.
No, it sounds horrible.
They're delicious, A. Interesting. And what they are... Like, they're sour candies. They're flat strips. And they're like those sour straws. Have you ever had one of those sour straws that are kind of like licorice, but they're covered in like white, like sour powder?
Mm-hmm.
They're like that, except they're flat and they're way more sour. In fact, my mouth is watering now just thinking about them. And unfortunately, they don't sell them a lot of different places. And I don't even know if they sell them in small packages. They might at Halloween, but normally you have to buy like a big old pack of them. And they're so good, dude. They're so much better than candy corn. And I'm still in disbelief that, that's the one that you chose out of all the candy variety that you had at your fingertips.
Dude, I had the first one that came into my head, man. Sorry.
That's okay, because you started with Twix. And Twix are delicious.
Oh, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. They're so good. Okay. Final question. What is the best Halloween costume you've ever seen in person? So I think one of the best ones I've ever seen. Well, let's do it. Let's do two part online and then in person. So we can talk about the ones that we thought were awesome, but we would never actually see in our real life because our friends aren't that creative. What do you got, Buster?
I don't know. I would just say any group costume. I love group costumes.
I love group costumes.
When you go to a party, everybody's in a group costume. Uh-huh, like uh-huh. Whether you're like everybody's in a school bus riding the Flintstones thing. I've seen that one year. It was like three people riding a Flintstones car. I don't know, man. Yeah, I'm really just not into the Halloween costumes. I can't even remember it.
But we were talking about before we started recording how every year we wish we were like this year. This is going to be the year that we come up with a really killer Halloween costume when we go out and we're dressed up. And then it gets to be like today, which is the 29th. And it like Halloween's like 2 days away. And we're like, oh, we should probably think of something. And then we just end up sitting at home and Netflix and chilling.
Like that's me every year, and then I'm just like, I didn't think of cool
that's
costume,
what I did
so
too.
I can't go out.
I do have a giant Mario onesie that I put on. Like it's like so cheap. It's just made of, you know, like the cheapest material. I bought it from a Halloween store on eBay. Actually, I didn't even go in. Nice. And it's too short, so there's serious moose knuckle when I'm wearing it. But I wear that, and then I carry around a mustache on a stick, and people seem to enjoy that, even though it's not creative at all. Best costume I've seen online was the one we talked about last week, and I'll link it again in the show notes. Was that Marty McFly? That Marty McFly gif of that guy who was on the hoverboard. Did you ever see that?
No, I didn't see this at all.
Oh man, I'm gonna give this to you right now, dude. I'm gonna text this to you right now so you can see it. So it's this guy on a hoverboard just like Marty McFly, and his legs are dressed in black pants, so he's like flying around on this hoverboard. Oh, are you looking
okay.
At that?
That is freaking brilliant.
That's great, right?
Oh my goodness.
That's one of the best online costumes I've ever seen.
Let me I found this. Okay, now that we're talking, I actually did find one. So now that we're talking hoverboard, you know that they're not hoverboards, but they're those little things that you roll around on.
Yeah, I've been seeing those everywhere.
This guy, he dressed up as Aladdin and, you know, put a red carpet on the hoverboard and just went around on the hoverboard.
I'll be honest. It doesn't look
so
safe.
It's like it goes through drive-thru.
Dude, this is so funny. This is so funny. So it's him dressed as Aladdin on that magic carpet from Aladdin, except it has that like two-wheel scooter underneath. So he's flying around on the magic carpet. This is so great. I'm going to post this in the show notes. Oh, this is on Vine. Good. So it'll be easy to post. Best one I've ever seen in person. I will never forget this. It's the one that I always come back to. And you spoke of group costumes. Group costumes are awesome, and because you never really know exactly what they're doing until you see the entire group together, right? So I'm at a party. This is years ago. I'm at a party, and it's an outdoor party, and these guys roll up way too close to where the party is. You know, like we're into this yard, and they pull up in this van, and they drive way too close to like where you come in through the gates. And everyone's looking at them because they're wondering why they park so close to the fence. Like you're supposed to park in a parking lot that's like a block away or something. And so these guys all pile out of the car. There must have been like five or six guys, and we're all looking at these guys trying to figure out who they were. And this big dude gets out, right? This big white dude. And he's wearing like I don't even know what it was, like a jumper, like a onesie. And he takes that thing off, and underneath he has all these gold necklaces on. And he takes off his hat. He's got a mohawk, And he lifts up a boombox onto his shoulder and he presses play and the A-Team music starts playing and all these guys pile out. They look exactly like the A-Team and they walk through that party like the ballers that they knew that they were. And we all wanted to hook up with them that night. In fact, I'll be honest, I did. Buster. I hooked up with B.A. Baracus. I hooked up with the white B.A. Baracus because his costume skills impressed me so superbly. And it was one of the best nights of my life. Those guys were so awesome. They made the entire party better. As soon as
What I like. Good group costume where everybody in the party is just like, damn, that was so smart. So smart. Wish I was that cool.
I wish I were that creative. If you and I were going to go to a party together, what would we dress up as?
I say a couple's costume.
Yeah.
Steven Waz. I'll go as Waz. You can be Steve.
Oh, that's just actually not a bad suggestion. Yeah,
that's so cute, good. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, super, super cute. The only thing that I could think of, because we've talked about it in the past, would be Balky and Larry from Perfect Strangers. That would be great too.
We talked about this.
This is forever ago when we talked about Perfect Strangers. Did you ever see our Perfect Strangers album art?
No.
Oh, you
didn't know that's what that was from. I've seen it. Yeah. I've never.
And most of our audience don't know what that's from because Perfect Strangers went off the air in like 1987 or something like that. We gotta resurrect that piece. I gotta put that on there. Anyway, okay, let's go ahead and wrap it up there, Buster. We wish everyone a happy Halloween, a spooky Halloween. I want to thank Squarespace for supporting this episode. If you're ready to get started with a beautiful website quickly, please go check out squarespace.com and get started with a 2-week free trial. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute album conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday nights. I want to thank everyone for listening. And we'll see you guys next time. Is that spooky?
Oh, that was spectacular.
Was it spectacular? Yeah. Hold on, let me...
Oh,
that made it even better, huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
We just made some people poop themselves, I think.
Oh, it's too bad. Well, yeah, you just need a Kangol cap.
This is the best costume idea. Yeah. I'm supposed to dress up like one of us for Halloween. If they want to be scary, of course, they should be like Leander.
Right.
All you got to do is just wear a backwards Kangol hat, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
And then just kind of squint a lot at people.
Drink a lot of ales.
And then just, and then you just drink all night long. Until you just look like this is the Ohio night.
It's like catchphrases like bollocks.
Bollocks.
Out of rubbish.
Every once in a while, I just walk up to one of your mates, quote unquote, and just go into that London handshake and just shake that junk around like tomorrow. And just be like,
good evening to you, sir.
Just grunt unintelligibly. There you go, Leander Keeney costume.